there is a difference between what we call an old covenant or Old Testament way of thinking and a new covenant or New Testament way of thinking according to the Bible. You'll see what I mean in a minute. If we can go to Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 3. So Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 3. Now it says, long ago, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets at different times and in different ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Okay, so right here we see a difference between, like in the Old Covenant, if you read through your Old Testament, you see that God was speaking in a certain way. God was speaking through his prophets, and God was, using that. But in these last days, okay, so the Bible says that we're in the last days now. He has spoken to us by his Son. Okay, so there's a difference here. Right away we see a difference. And God has appointed him heir of all things and made the universe through him. And the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature. And he sustains all things by his powerful word. Okay, so yes, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Yeah, Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. So, but what we need to understand is, again, God spoke before by the prophets, but now he's spoken to us by his Son. Okay, now we don't need somebody else to come to us and tell us what God is telling us. I mean, that's good. We, you know, there's teachers and all of that, but every person sitting here has the relationship with Jesus, right? And so now he has spoken to us by his Son. And it says, the Son is the exact expression of his nature, God's nature, right? So if we want to know what God is like, we just look at Jesus. What did Jesus do? What did he say? What, you know, and that is God's will. God has spoken to us in these last days by his Son. Okay? And Jesus said to Philip, have I been so long with you, but you do not know that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? So we understand that what Jesus does, that is the will of the Father. He only did what his Father's will is. Okay, and it says, he keeps everything together, sustains all things by his powerful word. So again, we were talking about on previous Mondays, about the importance and the power of God's word. Everything, if we can just believe and act on God's word, there is power there, and we will see things change. Okay, so, all right. So, Old Covenant, God spoke through other people, prophets, but now he has spoken through his Son. Okay, let's go to Hebrews chapter 8. Verse 6. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. It says that Jesus has now obtained a superior, a better ministry. Okay, better than the old covenant. To the degree that he is the mediator of a better covenant. So we're in a better situation than those in the Old Testament were, the Old Covenant. It's a better ministry, and it's a better covenant, and it has been legally enacted on better promises. So you and I are living in the time where God has spoken to us by his Son, and in Jesus we have been born again into this new covenant, okay? And the beauty of it is it's not a covenant that God has made with us. It is a covenant that the Father has made with Jesus, because Jesus is the one who paid the penalty for our sins, right? So he is the one who fulfilled all of the law and all of the thing that made it possible for us to be a child of God now. So the Father has made a covenant with Jesus, all right? And we benefit from that covenant because we receive Jesus. Now Jesus is in us. And so all of the promises of God, all of the authority that has been given to Jesus, he said, I give you this. You go and you walk in my name, in my authority, and that's why you can do the works that I did and that I do, because you're not going in your name, you're not going in your own strength, but you're going in God's strength, in Jesus, what he provided for us. Okay? So this is why we call it, we're in the time of grace. Grace meaning we don't deserve it, but God gives it to us through Jesus. And so this is a better covenant. Because the old covenant said, an eye for an eye. You hurt somebody's eye, your eye gets hurt. It's like everything is a law, you understand? But we don't operate by a law anymore. On Sunday, I was talking about how we died to the law so that now we become married to Jesus, to Christ, to his Spirit. And we operate out of the fullness of God and who he is, and not out of our own goodness. If we operate out of our own goodness, nothing happens, okay? Because our own goodness is like filthy rags, the Bible says. So the only one good is God, right? Jesus. So now we operate by grace through what Jesus, through the position of a son of God. Jesus is the firstborn, talked about this on Sunday, of many brothers, many brethren. And so we are also sons of God, as Jesus is our elder brother. He is the Son of God. We are brothers of Jesus, sons of God. Okay? And so we walk in grace, what he has provided. That's why when we lay hands on the sick, they recover in Jesus' name, not our name. When we ask, we receive because of God's goodness, not because we deserve it. And because we have embraced Jesus and we are his God's children now. That's why we get answers to prayer. Okay, so we need to remember that so we don't go around trying to build our own goodness. Romans 10 talks about this. It talks about people who try to build their own goodness, but that has nothing to do with the righteousness of God, and it doesn't work. Our only goodness is through Jesus. Okay, now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 7, we're going to read verse 7 through 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 through 16. Okay, so this is going to talk about more about this. It says, we've read this verse before on Sundays, Mondays, different times, how we speak God's hidden wisdom in a mystery. A wisdom God predestined before the ages for our glory. Okay? So again, he predestined this for our glory, right? In other words, it's something that God is going to give us. He is going to share his glory with us. It is not our own glory. It's God's glory that he shares with us now because we are his sons. Okay? Again, none of the rulers of this age knew about it. If they knew it, they would not have crucified Jesus. Okay, let's jump. We've read this before, so I'm going to jump down to verse 10. But God has revealed these things to us by the Spirit. Sorry, let me back up to verse 9. As it is written, what eye did not see and ear did not hear, what has never entered into the human mind, God has prepared this for those who love him. Now this is an Old Testament verse. This is a verse from the Old Testament which is now quoted in the New Testament. Okay? And see, this is the Old Covenant. It says, I never saw it. Nobody ever thought about it. It's like beyond our understanding. But now, verse 10, it says, now God has revealed these things to us by the Spirit. Okay? Now it's no longer, oh, we can never know it. Now we know it. Now we live in it. Now we experience these things by the Spirit. Okay? Let's jump down to verse 16. Verse 16, it says, here's another Old Testament verse. It says, who has known the Lord's mind? Okay, that's an old, that he may instruct him. That's an Old Testament verse. And now it's saying, but we, so but. In other words, what we just said, that's in the past, because now, but we have the mind of Christ. Okay? We have the mind of Christ. What does that mean? We have the mind of Christ. In order to do what Jesus did, we must have his mind. We must think in the way that he thought. We must step out and in faith like Jesus stepped out in faith. You see, Jesus was a man. He was the Son of Man. He's the Son of God, but he's also the Son of Man. When he came to earth, he set aside all of his God powers, let's say, you know, and he became a man just like you and me, okay? He had the same kind of mind. He had the same... He needed to believe the scriptures just like we need to believe. He needed to believe that God would do what he said he would do because he left his powers behind. He had to believe just like we need to believe. And that's why we can look to Jesus as our example, because we are in the same situation that Jesus was in when he was on earth. Actually, we're in a better situation now because he defeated the enemy. He defeated the devil. And so now we get to walk in his victory. So it's better, actually. Jesus said in John 14:12, he said, the same things that I do, you will do also, and greater things. Now, to do that, we must know that we have the mind of Christ. That's what it says. We have the mind of Christ. So what that means actually is that, you know, Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, if you believe and you don't doubt in your heart, you will receive. Okay? And, you know, I always use that example. When you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. Because we know in God's mind, that is God's will. Okay? When we look at the life of Jesus, we see God's will. What did he do? Well, he was healing the sick. He was casting out devils. He was loving people. He was, you know, doing all these things. He lived a supernatural life, right? So Jesus said, the same things you will do. So we need to renew our mind. Romans 12:2, it says, we need to renew our mind to the truth of God, to his word. God's word is God's will, okay? Like on Sunday, I said, we don't need to wait for God to tell us to do something when he already told us, right here in the Bible, through Jesus. He told us to go and do it. So we don't need to ask God when we see a sick person, oh, I wonder if God wants to heal him. What did Jesus do? He never turned a sick person away. So it's God's will, always, to heal. Okay? So we have the mind of Christ. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 5. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 5. Okay, so Paul is speaking here to the Corinthian church. Now, the Corinthian church, it says in 1 Corinthians, there was a lot of sin going on. These Christians, Paul called them carnal Christians. That means they were going not, they were not mature in the spirit. They were full of sin. They were full of problems and all kinds of things going on. So then Paul said, brothers, I was not able to speak to you as spiritual people, but as people of flesh, like babies in Christ. So Paul is calling them babies. They're not mature. They're carnal. They're in the flesh. Okay. He said, I gave you milk to drink and not meat or not solid food because you are not ready for it. Like a baby cannot eat a piece of meat. He needs to just drink his mother's milk, right? He cannot eat that meat, right? In fact, you are still not ready because you are still fleshly. Okay, so Paul is saying, He didn't give them solid food to eat, meat, because they're not ready. They're still messed up. Okay. Now, 9 chapters later, in 1 Corinthians, it talks about, in 1 Corinthians 12, the gifts of the Spirit. It talks about gifts of healings. It talks about gifts of miracles. It talks about gifts of tongues, different gifts, right? Now, the Corinthian church, they were having these gifts, things happening. Somebody would get healed and they were surprised, you know. Oh, whoa, what happened there? Somebody would speak in tongues and they're wondering, what's going on? What's this language I'm speaking? Or, you know, and so Paul wrote to them and said, so that you are not ignorant, let me tell you, okay, this is the gift of tongues when you hear that. This is the gift of healing when somebody got healed. He talked about all these gifts. But we are called not just to walk in gifts. A gift is for something. You see, remember, Paul called them not mature Christians. They're fleshly. So for God to use them in something like that, God had to give them a gift. Okay? And so they didn't understand it, but wow, it happened. Somebody got healed. It was a gift. But in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, I show you a better way. And then he starts talking about love and all of this. So you see, we are called not to operate from a gift. We are called to operate as a son of God. You understand the difference. You see, the Old Testament mindset was, you know, wow, God did something special and we can't understand it. But now God has revealed them to us. God is not calling us. God is not just speaking to us now through a prophet. God is not speaking to us only through another person. God has put us in the position of his son. As Jesus is a son, we are brothers of Jesus. You understand? That's what the scriptures say. Okay? We're going to read that a little bit later. But I want you to just see the difference between like a servant. I talked about this, I think, the Sunday before or Monday. I can't remember. The difference between a servant of God and a son of God, right? So we operate out of the fullness of Jesus. We operate in his name. We do things in his name. Therefore, it's not about a gift anymore. It is operating in the fullness of Jesus as a son of God. You see, there's a difference there. When we begin to understand who we are in Jesus, it's a big difference between a son and a servant. You understand? Everything we do is in his name. The authority, the power that he has given to us to accomplish a mission, and there's no limits on that. Okay? The only limitations are what we believe in our mind. Within the, of course, within the realm of God's scriptures. Okay? So it says, We are in Hebrews 5, right? We're reading Hebrews 5. Is that right? Oh, no, not yet. Well, we're going to Hebrews 5 now. Okay, we're going to Hebrews 5, verse 11. Okay, and we're going to read until, like, chapter 6, verse 2. So, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. So, Paul is saying, you have become dull of hearing, because by this time you ought to be teachers, but you need somebody to teach you again the first principles of the things of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Okay. Now, we're going to see what is the difference between milk and solid food very shortly, because Jesus said something about this. But I just want you to see that the Corinthian church, they were not eating solid food. They were carnal, but still the gifts of God were coming through them. But, all right. So it says, everyone who eats only milk is not skilled in the word of righteousness because he's a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, mature. That is, those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I don't know if you're catching all this. So Paul says right here, verse 14, he says, solid food is for those who are by reason of use. In other words, they do the Word of God. They act on it. They do it. And when they do that, they learn their senses. You know, their senses are exercised by doing it. You see, that is the difference between the solid food and the milk. Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 34, he said, "My meat, my solid food, is to do the will of him who sent me." That is Jesus' solid food, meat. Okay? So milk is people who do not do the Word of God. They have maybe some knowledge, they read something, they understand something, but they don't do it. So that's just milk. But when you start to do the Word of God, like Jesus was doing the will of his Father, and then we can say, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me," then we begin to be eating that meat. You understand? And then we begin to experience, and we begin to have our senses exercised. Hebrews 5, verse 14. Our senses are exercised, and we learn to discern good and evil, and we learn to walk in all of the things that God has provided for us. Okay, so we're in Hebrews 5, verse 14 now. It says, "Therefore, let's leave the basic principles of Christ and let's go on to perfection," okay? We're supposed to become mature, but the only way to become mature is to eat solid food. A baby must grow and he learn to eat solid food. He can't always only drink milk. He will not grow. He will not mature. So if we want to grow and mature in Christ, we must do the Word of God. We must go and preach the gospel. We must go and lay hands on the sick and see them recover. We must go and do all the things that Jesus told us to do. We must go and love our neighbor as ourselves. We must go and show the world that God is real and reach them. Okay? When we do that, we are eating meat and we will mature. Okay? Our senses will begin to be exercised. And we will go on to perfection. And we will go beyond the foundation of repentance, it says in verse 14, or sorry, we're in chapter 6, verse 1 now, and all this stuff. We're in chapter 6, verse 1 now. We will go beyond the foundation of repentance from dead works. Talked about this on Sunday, how that to follow Christ, we must turn from our old life, right? And we must go with Jesus. So that's a basic principle. Okay, we should have that settled in our foundation. I was talking about the foundation of our being born again and salvation on Sunday. That is basic. But once that is established, we need to go on and grow, okay, and do the Word of God. Okay, so I've said this before, but God, you see, another old covenant way of thinking, like in the Old Testament, is people would wait on God for a prophet to tell them something before they would go and do something, right? Gideon was, doing normal things, and then a prophet of God came and said, "Gideon, I want you to do this," right? So that's the way it was in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. But now, God has already spoken to us through his Son, Jesus. Now, God has spoke through his Son. His Son, Jesus, has told us to go and to do, preach the gospel, all these things. So now, we don't need to wait anymore. We don't need to wait for God to send a lightning bolt from the sky and say, "Genesis, I want you to go out and preach the gospel. Genesis, I want you to go and lay hands on this." No, it's already written right here. God wrote us a letter. Don't wait for a phone call from God. He sent you a letter. All right, it's called the Bible. It's called the words of Jesus, and it's all right here. So we're not waiting around for God anymore. He's waiting on us to go and do it. And he said, these signs, Mark 16, will follow those who believe. If you are a believer, then these signs will follow you. As you go and you preach the gospel and you share Jesus with people, these signs will follow you. You will lay hands on the sick, they will recover. You will da da da. There's a list there, Mark 16. Okay? They will follow you. It doesn't say they will go and then you will follow the signs. It says you go and the signs will follow you. That means if you don't go, you're not going to see any signs. You can't sit at home and scratch your head and say, I wonder why I don't see any miracles. I wonder why God's not doing miracles today. Why people aren't getting healed. Because we are not out doing what Jesus called us to do. That's why. If we would all go and do the things he said, we will see those signs. They will follow us. Because the Holy Spirit will be there and do it in the name of Jesus as we act in faith. Okay, so that's the difference. Old covenant mindset versus new. We're not waiting on God anymore. And another way you can tell if you're about the old covenant mindset is people try to deserve God's blessings, or they try to deserve God. Like they say, oh, if I fast and pray enough, or if I become good enough, then God will work miracles through me, or then God will heal the sick, or then I'll... No. We will never be good enough to deserve that. Only Jesus is good enough. And he paid for it with his own blood and suffering. And now we walk in the benefits of what he has provided. That's the difference between an old covenant mindset and a new covenant. People in an old covenant mindset, they are still thinking they need to deserve God's blessings. You understand? So they try to be good enough, you know, and sometimes they're very uptight or worried to be very religious. You know what I mean? Very, ooh, and you feel like, ooh. Like the Pharisees, you know? The Pharisees in the Bible, they were very religious people. And they trusted in themselves, in their own goodness, their own righteousness. But that stinks in God's eyes. Now, 1 Corinthians 1:31 says, Jesus is our righteousness. Okay? And that is walking in grace, not walking based upon our own performance, by what we have experienced in the past, nothing. We have a new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says we are a new creation. Some Bible translations say a new species, a new kind of creature. Never existed before. We are not now adding Jesus to our old life just by going to church on Sunday and playing religion. No. If we are truly born again, we are a completely a different creation of God, a son of God. Okay? So it's we need to learn from the word what God did when we were born again, so that we learn how to live that way. And that's what we're doing here. Okay, we're learning what God has done and what he has provided so that we can live it, so we can live like Jesus. That is the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. That means the Spirit of God is united with our spirit. Okay, our spirit is perfect and complete in Christ if we are born again. But our mind needs to be renewed. In other words, we need to study God's word until we no longer look at a situation and wonder, what should I do? We should look at a situation and our first reaction should be, ah, there's a sick person. Let me go and get them well. You don't have to think, what should I do? What does the Bible say? No. Maturity is when we get to the point when, oh, there's a situation. Here, let me help you. Boom. What did Jesus do? Here, that's what we do. It becomes our natural reaction to a situation. So that is what we are going for. That is what it means to grow up into Christ. And to have the mind of Christ means we read the Word of God, we study it, but eventually our desire is that it becomes our first reaction to a situation, to do it. And we can get there by studying these promises of God, looking at them every morning. You look at them and you say, okay, the Bible said, Jesus said, these signs follow those who believe. They will lay hands on the sick, they will recover. And then you change it. You put I. I am a believer and I lay hands on the sick and they recover. You see, you change it, you personalize it, and you keep a list of those promises of God. And you put your name or you can change it and personalize it so that you are telling yourself what the reality of God is. You're telling your mind. You know, are you familiar with Smith Wigglesworth? Smith Wigglesworth, he was very known for operating in the power of God and great, you know, healings, all kinds of things happening. And somebody asked him, what is the secret? How can you do these things, you know? And this person asked him, why are you always so happy and positive? And he said, well, when he wakes up in the morning, he doesn't ask himself, how do I feel today? He tells himself, according to the word of God, how he feels today. You understand? We don't wait until our emotions make us feel this and that. We tell ourselves what is the truth according to the word of God. We tell our mind how we're going to feel today. We determine our outlook according to the promises of God. You see, that's the difference. That's maturity. It's not being tossed around like a wave of the sea, but it is being anchored in the word of God, his promises. We live it. We personalize it. It says, I am a believer. I lay hands on the sick and they recover. I am the body of Christ, you know, as his church. So when you start doing that, then it starts sinking in and it starts renewing your mind. And you begin to, you'll find yourself thinking differently and acting differently because you are renewing your mind to the promises of God. Remember 2 Peter, I think, chapter 1. These precious promises of God are the way that we become partakers of the divine nature of God. So the way God is, the way that we begin to live that and have his nature become our nature is through his promises, renewing our mind, getting it inside and living those. Okay? So it's like a boat. You know, everybody talks about we want to be led by the Spirit of God, right? Okay, what does that mean to be led by the Spirit of God? Well, it's like a boat. Okay, a boat has that rudder, you know, that part that when you turn, it turns and the boat goes that way, right? But the rudder doesn't work unless it's moving, right? So if the boat is just staying in one place and you turn the wheel, the rudder moves, but the boat, nothing happens because the boat is not moving. So we have to get moving. You understand? We need to go do what Jesus said. And as we go, then, you know, the Holy Spirit can whisper to us as we go, hey, go now, go this way. And then we go, oh, now go this way. Now watch out, jump. You jump. But none of that Holy Spirit direction is going to happen until we get out there and begin to do the things God has shown us to do. And another thing is, it says God has spoken to us by his Son, right? If we have seen Jesus, then we know the will of God through what Jesus has done, right? So, I forgot what I was going to say. Skip that. Okay. Anyway, look to Jesus, what he did, that's God's will. As we go out there, then the Holy Spirit can, if we're supposed to go here rather than there, as we're moving, the Holy Spirit can tell us, and then, you know, that rudder moves, then we will go. But as long as we sit around doing nothing, God cannot lead us. Okay? So, we need to renew our mind. Romans 12, we talked about that. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, it talks about, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. There it talks about we're in a war, and our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty in God to pull down strongholds. What are those strongholds? Well, let's continue. Casting down arguments, or your Bible may say imaginations or vain thoughts, whatever. It's all the same. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Okay, so those strongholds, what is a stronghold? It's an area that the enemy has control over in a war. The army wants to go and take down those strong fortresses of the enemy, right? Well, the devil wants to get into our mind through getting us to believe wrong things. That's why he tries to get Christians into doctrines like, oh, it's not always God's will to heal, and things like that. Because that's a stronghold in the mind. And as long as you believe that, then the enemy has a stronghold and you will not be able to do the will of God and set the people free, because the enemy has convinced you that you can't, basically. So the Word of God, it says we're supposed to tear down these arguments and everything that is against the knowledge of God. So anything that is saying something which is not according to the Word of God, we need to tear it down. So when we get a thought in our mind, you see somebody who is sick, for example, and you know, maybe a thought will come to your mind, oh, you know, I don't know if it's God's will. Well, you know that's not from God, so you tear it down. You don't, you know, somebody said you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair, right? So just because you have a thought doesn't mean you doubt it. To doubt means to pull back. It's like you're going somewhere, and then you have a thought from the enemy that says, oh, what if it doesn't work? You're going to pray for somebody. But then the enemy says, oh, what if it doesn't work? Now you have a choice to make. Are you going to receive that thought? Then it becomes sin and doubt, and then you pull back. Or are you going to ignore that thought and continue to go and do God's will? You see, sin and doubt is a choice that we make. It is not something that the devil just does and you sinned, you doubted. No. The devil comes with a thought, and then you decide whether to receive it or take it captive against the knowledge of God and throw it out. Okay? So just because you thought a thought does not mean you doubted. Only if you say, oh yeah, and then so you go back the other way, then it's a doubt. You understand the difference? Okay? So we talked about we have the mind of Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. All right. Ephesians 4, verse 22. Ephesians 4, verse 22. It says, put off the way that you used to behave with the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts and desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Okay, so it says, put away from you all the old ways you used to think, you know, all the old things that you used to do and all that. Just, you are a new creation, you are a new creature, you're a new species, a child of God. Therefore, we no longer are limited by the things that were limiting us before. We are no longer doing things the old way we used to do them. Now, we live in a new way, God's way, according to His Word and His promises. So it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You see, there is a link between your spirit, I mean, God's spirit and your spirit, okay? And your mind. There's something called the spirit of your mind. Okay? That is the part of your mind where you decide, okay, I am going to follow the Spirit of God or not. You understand? So there needs to be a connection between our spirit, which is perfect and complete in Jesus, right? And that's where the Spirit of God is in one with us in spirit, right? And there needs to be a connection between that spirit and our mind. In other words, because we make our decisions in the mind, right? We decide in our soul, what are we going to do? Am I going to believe the Word of God, or am I going to doubt? What am I going to do? So our goal is to renew our mind, clear out every thought which does not line up with the Word of God, and then so we operate in the spirit of our mind, you understand, which is linked to the Spirit of God, you understand? So we do not operate down by what we see, by what we, our emotions, but we, in the spirit of our mind, which is united, connected to the Spirit, our spirit, and the Spirit of God. You understand what I mean? So it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So we need to renew our mind so that we operate there in the spirit of our mind by doing the Word of God. And it says, verse 24, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Okay? So there is a new man, the spirit, which is born again inside of us, the new creation, and we are supposed to put that on. In other words, we choose to walk in it or we don't. We must decide where we want to live. Are we going to live in the new man, the new creation, the new spirit which God has put inside of us, or are we going to choose to live like we always have? We must decide. And if we're going to live in the spirit, then we must renew our mind and do the things of God. So if we are doing what the Bible says, then we are walking in the Spirit, okay? Because the Bible is, the promises of God are inspired by the Spirit of God, right? And so if we are doing what God says to do, that means we are operating out of the Spirit and not out of the flesh. So if we are doing what Jesus said to do, then we are operating in the Spirit of God, okay? We don't need to pray, oh God, lead me by your Spirit. Yes, okay, we should, that you can. But what I'm saying is, if we're doing the Word of God, we are being led by the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God is in His Word. And as we do it, that means His Spirit is leading us. You understand? Okay, and as we do that, then whether we need to go down that street or this street, the rudder of the boat, because we're in motion, the Holy Spirit can whisper in our ear and lead us that way too. But it starts with obeying the Word of God, and that's how we can tell if we are led by the Spirit of God. Okay, so it says Romans 8, verse 14 says, Romans 8, verse 14, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Okay? So if you are doing the Word of God, you are being led by the Spirit of God, and that is a proof that you are a son of God. Okay? Somebody who says, yes, I am a child of God, and they do not do the things that Jesus said to do, well, there can be doubt whether they're actually born again or not, because Jesus said, if a person loves me, he will follow me. If a person loves me, he will do the things that I say. How can you say you love me and you do not do the things I say? It doesn't work like that, right? So truly, if a person is born again and really loves Jesus, they will be doing what Jesus said to do. Okay? And that means they are being led by the Spirit of God. Okay? So James 1:22 says that, don't just be a hearer of the word, deceiving yourself, but do the word of God. Okay? James 1:22. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. In other words, if we hear all these wonderful words of Jesus now from the Bible, and we're sitting here, we're studying these things, and yay. But unless we do it, then we are deceiving ourselves, thinking that we are being spiritual and just by listening. But Jesus said that the wise man built his house on the rock. That means he did the word of God. And because he did the word of God, then when the storms came, he was solid on that rock because he did the words of God. So when we do the word of God, we're building our house on that rock, and we are doing God's will. But if we hear only these words and we don't do it, we're building our house on the sand, and it will fall, whatever we're doing. And we're deceiving ourselves, thinking that we're being close to God and all this. But if we're not doing the word, then we're just deceiving ourselves. Okay. All right. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, it says that, you see, there's a lot of teachings in the church today about the anointing. Okay. And some people think that the anointing means that you can be sitting there and all of a sudden, you know, you receive an anointing and then you have, you know, you can do miracles or whatever. Now, okay, there are gifts from God, and like in 1 Corinthians 12, we talked about God can do that. But it says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, it says, "The anointing which you have received from him abides in you. It stays with you. It lives in you. It doesn't come and go." You see? So the Spirit from God, the Bible says that if a person does not have the Spirit of God, then they are not a child of God. Okay? So the very fact that we have been born again means we have the Spirit of God, and the anointing abides with us. We don't need to wait for a special anointing. We are anointed. Anointing means that God has put his Spirit upon you and separated you for a purpose. Okay? And so that's been done already. You are anointed, and that doesn't change. It says you don't need anybody to teach you. That anointing teaches you all things. Okay? So this anointing does not come, it does not go. It's with you always. Because Jesus is called Jesus Christ. Christ, the Messiah, means the anointed one. You see, Jesus is the anointed one, and we live in him. Therefore, we are anointed always because Jesus is always anointed, and Jesus is always in us. Therefore, we do not operate out of our own anointing, but the anointing which Jesus has and which he brought to us when he lives inside of us, and therefore we operate in his name, in the anointing which he provides, and that does not come and go. It is there always. You see? Okay. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Romans 8, verse 29. It says that whom God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Okay, we talked about how we are the brothers of Jesus, right? Brothers, sisters, whatever you want to say. Okay, but it says, God knew you before, and he predestined you to be conformed to the image of his Son. So, as Jesus walked, so are we to walk. The things Jesus did, that's what we're to do. God has destined you for that. It's not, oh, I hope maybe I can do that some. No. God predestined and called you for that. It's not a maybe. That's your mission in life, is to live as Jesus lived and do what Jesus did and set people free as Jesus set them free. Okay? So God has called you for that. And here it talks about Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. So we are his brethren. He's the firstborn. He made the way for us. Then he went to the Father, sent the Holy Spirit. So now we can be born again. And, you know, we are those brethren. He's the firstborn, but we're born after him. And, you know. Okay, we talked about John 14, verse 12, that Jesus said, "The same works that I do, you will do also, and greater works, because I go to the Father." And verse 13, this is John 14. We started John 14, verse 12. Now we're in verse 13. "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You see, when you lay your hands on the sick and they recover, it glorifies the Father through Jesus. It's not for your glory. It glorifies God. When you do that, Jesus works through you. The Holy Spirit heals a person's body, you know, for example. It brings glory to the Father through Jesus, you see. People say, wow, God is real. What Jesus did is real. He's alive. Look what he just did. It brings glory to the Father. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Okay, that is a broad statement. If you ask anything in my name, okay, in Jesus' name means for the glory of God, for his kingdom. On Sunday, I was talking about not seeking our own kingdom, but the kingdom of God. If you seek first the kingdom of God, all these other things will be given to you, right? So, in Jesus' name, we ask for things means it's for the glory of God, for the glory of his kingdom. And if we ask anything like that in his name, he will do it. It doesn't say maybe. Does it say maybe in your Bible?
No.
No. It says, if you ask me anything in my name, that's the key, in his name, for his glory, for his kingdom, he will do it. All right? If you love me, keep my commandments. In other words, do the things I say. If you love me, show me. Do the things I say, right? And he will give you another helper, the Holy Spirit, that he will live with you always. So we have the Holy Spirit. Okay, we're almost done here. Just a couple more scriptures, then we'll finish up here. In John 20, verse 21, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Now, we must understand what this says. In the same way that the Father has sent Jesus, in the same way Jesus is sending us. Did you catch that? How did the Father send Jesus? Well, 1 John 3:8, he says, Jesus was sent to destroy the works of the devil, right? Everything which is oppressing people, everything which is hurting people, everything which is killing people, that's what disease does, right? And sickness. So that's why it says that in Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus and he went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Acts 10:38. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Okay? So it mentions healing and being oppressed by the devil, right? And so for this reason, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, to set people free. That's what salvation is. Salvation is somebody being set free from oppression by the devil, whether it's spiritual, whether it's physical, whatever. Jesus came to save people entirely and completely, body, soul, and spirit. Okay? So that, John 20:21, as the Father sent me, so I send you. In the same way. So, look at the mission of Jesus, look at the life of Jesus, see what he did, see what, and that is your mission as well. That's what it says right here. As the Father sent me, in the same way I am sending you. Okay? So, in order to do that mission and do those things Jesus is commanding us, we must have this new covenant mindset. We must get out of the old covenant mindset, which is waiting for somebody, some prophet to come along and tell us something or to get some direction. You know, God has spoken to us by his Son. Okay? It's a new covenant based on better promises, a better, you know, better situation, because now the fullness of God does not just sort of send you a message sometimes. You live in the fullness of God. You live in Christ. You abide in him. John 15, so you will bear much fruit because you abide in Jesus. You live in Jesus. John 17 says, Jesus prayed, Father, I pray that these who believe in me will be one, just as I am one with you. And I pray also that they will be one in us. You see? We are united with Christ. We are united with God through marriage. For lack of a, Ephesians 5, it talks about that. You know, I talked about this on Sunday, how our relationship with Christ is like a marriage. It's like two become one, right? So what God has joined together, don't try to separate. The mind of Christ does not say, oh, I don't know if I have enough faith. No. The mind of Christ says, all things are possible to him who believes. The mind of Christ says, Jesus has all authority. He abides in me. The things I do in his name. So Jesus has all power. Of course, prayer works. Of course, this person will be healed. Of course, it's the promise and word of God. It's not a maybe. I am joined with him. You as a born-again believer are joined with Christ. Don't try to separate yourself from him and say, oh, I don't know if I can do that. No, you can't. But Jesus can, and you're united to him. Therefore, you don't operate in your name. You operate in his name. And there are no impossibilities for those who believe. And that's why Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, you will receive because of our position as a son of God. That's the difference between the old covenant mindset and a new covenant mindset in Christ. Thanks for listening to this audio. If you'd like more information or audio teachings, please visit our website at www.livingavision.org. That's www.livingavision.org. We're always looking for people who want to work together to make a real impact in the world and in the lives of those around them. So if you're someone like that, we'd love to hear from you.